Today's Shi'ur's Masechta, Erev and Daf Kuf Beis, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Nagar, which is a bolt that was used to close the door, Shi'esh Barosha Glustra, that has on top of it a ball, which therefore makes it usable as something that could grind or crush spices. And the way Reb Elezer in explaining Reb Elezer's opinion is that even though since this has this ball on top of it, so it has a use, and since it has a use, it's not muksa. So Reb Elezer still says oyser, it can't be used to bolt the door. That even though it has this ball on top of it, and because it has the ball on top of it, one would be able perhaps to say that it should not be usher to use it, because it's obvious that it's a keli. Still teaches us the Mishnah that it's mutter. Reb Yossi mater. Reb Yossi, on the other hand, says that since it looks like a keli, then it's mutter, because once it looks like a keli, say the Rishonim in explaining Rabbi Yossi's opinion, it doesn't look like you're intending to leave it there on a permanent basis. So certainly, we're not talking about Binyan Daraisa in this case in the first place. It says Rabbi Yossi that since this has the look, it's obvious that it's a keli. So since it's a keli, nobody's going to be leaving it there on any form of permanent basis. And since no one's going to leave it there in any shape or form of a permanent basis, that's why Reb Yossi is lenient. And moreover, I actually saw that even Reb Elezer, who we just saw is Machmer, I saw that the Ritva says, because he doesn't hold that this bolt that has a ball on top of it really is considered a keli. But he would agree that if it was a full-fledged keli, which certainly nobody's going to leave there on a full-time basis, even he would agree there is no problem. Reb Elezer, so Reb Elezer says, Maisa b'knesset shebetveria, there was a story in Tveria, shayinoygen bo'heter, that they used to be mekel, achbar Reb Gamliel v'azakinim v'asrulhem, until the Gamaliel and the Zakenim taught them that actually you cannot be lenient with this type of a bolt. Rabbi Yossi says the story was just the opposite. They mistakenly were machmer, and then Barav Gamaliel for Zakenim v'tirulahem, and they were mekel. So Tosfos asks that how could they be mekel for them? Isn't the halacha that dvarim hamatarim, that something that's mutter, v'cherim noga b'isser, and then people were machmer, iyat to rishoy latirim b'fneim, you have no right to be mekel. So if they were machmer in not using these types of bolts to close the door, how could somebody come along and be mekel for them? So Tosfos answers that the only time we have that limitation is when they had a legitimate chumrah. So if they have a legitimate chumrah, we have no right to now turn around on that chumrah. But if their chumrah was being followed by mistake, says Tosfos, then of course we have to correct the mistake and not on the other side, not just allow it to continue. So now the Gemara tries to define and qualify under which circumstances Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yossi are arguing. It says the Gemara, "Benitel bagudai." When you have this bolt that is tied to the door well, and therefore, if you pick it up the way it's tied to the door, it will not get torn. Kulam lepligi, everybody agrees that you're allowed to use as a bolt. Since it's so attached to the door, so we recognize that it's part of the door, and therefore, when you use it, it's not considered an act opinion. When do we have a machlokes? Where it's not tied that well. The Mar Sovar, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is, Kivan de Yeshbi Roshi Gusgra Taras Kleolov, since it has this ball on top of it, it shows that it's a Keli, and it shows that it is not your intention to leave it there on a full-time basis. And since it's not your intention to leave it there on a full-time basis, that's why it's not a problem. Umar Sofer, whereas Rebbe Lezer is of the opinion, Kimide Nitl Begudoy, since it's not tied well, Loi, they Chazal did not allow us to use it. They were concerned that you're going to come to, that it's going to look like you did a Maisa Binyan. So the way Rashi explains, There's a machloikis. How do Rashi explain that the whole Gemara has to do with a question of binyan, a question of binyan arai? And that is a machloikis in the understanding of Rashi. How far does Rashi take Rabbi Yossi's opinion? Does Rabbi Yossi require that it should be at least somewhat attached? But if it's not attached at all, even Rabbi Yossi will agree that you can't use it as a bolt. However, that's the opinion of the Rashba and the Ritva. The Beis Yosef and the Gra disagree. And their opinion is that according to Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, there is no need to have a tied at all. The fact that it's used, the fact that it looks like a grinder, shows us that this person has no intention to leave it there. And since the person has no intention of leaving it there, so the halacha is that it's never considered a Maisa Binyan. The next series of Mishnayos keep on referring back to an important concept. And that's the concept of Ein Shvus B'Migdosh. As we know, Chazal, in Masechet Shabbos particularly, made certain activities, Osam D'Rabbanan, a Melacha, which is a Melacha D'Rabbanan, is called the Shvus, and in the Beis HaMikdash, they typically, as we'll see under certain circumstances, did not enact those shvusim. The reason given, as the Kesef Mishnah says, is because Kohanim's reason hang. The Kohanim are careful. Most of the Rabbanon were enacted to prevent us from being over in Issa D'Raisa. However, in a situation where we have Kohanim's Rizimheim, they're going to be careful not to be over any derises. And because they're going to be careful not to be over any derises, there was no need for the Rabbanon to enact these gezeiros. The Meiri explains, why are these series of Mishnayos brought here? So because we're going to learn Ein Shvus B'Migdosh regarding a bolt, so we continue speaking about Ein Shvus B'Migdosh in other situations as well. The Mashah takes it a step further. He says that the entire Masechta Erevin really is based on a Derabbanan. As we explained so many times, Shlomo HaMelech enacted the whole rule of Erevin. Shlomo HaMelech said that we can't carry from a more private Rishus HaYachid to a more public Rishus HaYachid, because Shlomo HaMelech was concerned that if that would be allowed, somebody may come to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So the whole basis a Masechta Erevin is based on the concept of a Shvus, of a Drabonon. So now we're learning that Ein Shvus B'Migdosh, it's most appropriate to discuss it in Masechta Erevin. So says the Mishnah, Nagar HaNigro, there's a bolt that they were used to close a door. And the bolt is on the door, tied to the door, that is very long. And therefore, it doesn't necessarily look like it's attached to the door. So using it is certainly not an Isser or Binyan Midaraisa, because it is attached to the door. But since it doesn't look like it's attached to the door, so says the Mishnah, Noyalan Bava Migdosh, it may be used in the Beis HaMikdash, for as we just explained, Ein Shvus B'Migdosh, Noyalan Bava Migdosh, Avlai B'Medina, but we may not use it outside the Beis HaMikdash, because there's a problem of nira kabinyan. Vamunach, and if you have a nagar, you have this bolt that's not attached to the ground at all, it's laying on the floor, it's laying in the corner, and when it's needed, you bring it there. There, kavakan osur, it's osur because, osur mitra baron, because of near a kibinyan. That's the approach that Rashi learns in our Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. Tosfos and other Rishonim say that the issue here is a muksa issue. But again, we're going to learn it the way Rashi learns. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not the machloikas. He says, hamunach, if it's sitting, mutar b'migdash. Then even though it's not attached at all, it may be used in the base of migdash. V'anigrar, and if it's attached, then since it's attached, there's no concern that anybody's going to assume that it has, that this is considered a ma'isa binyan, and therefore it's b'medina, it's even mutter outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the question that Ritva asks, that why, if it's just attached in a way that it's not obvious, why would it be mutter in Medina? We've learned so many times that there's an issa, at least midrabanon, of oil arai. So he says that the way we need to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that, number one, it's really only a binyan arai. Moreover, it really is attached to the door. When you have so many factors to be lenient, even Rabbi Yehuda says we can't be machmer even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Tanur Rabbanan is a nagar nigger shnayal b'migdash avalei b'medina. What's a nagar that could be used in the Beis HaMikdash and not in outside the Beis HaMikdash? Kol shekosher, as long as it's attached to the door. Tali, v'reshech magil, v'rutali, and the upper part of this bolt is in the air, v'reshech magil, so the other part is touching the ground. Still, since it's somewhat attached, that's why it can be used. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, afim medina mutter. You could use such a nagar even outside the Beis HaMikdash. El nagar she noyan b'migdash alay medina. In other words, the Gemara is asking, which is the nagar which is osur midrabanon, and therefore may be used in the Beis HaMikdash, but maybe not be used outside the Beis HaMikdash. Kol shein alay koshev alay tali. If it's not attached at all, which is just shom to menich with Karen's office, if it's sitting in the corner, if you have such a nagar, that may not be used. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul Paskins, halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'nigra, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda when we speak about a nagar or nigra, that as long as it's attached somewhat to the door, it can be used even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rava, says Rava, who shekosher b'delas. It has to be attached to the actual door. It cannot be attached to the threshold, to the area around the door. It has to be attached to the door itself. Eini, asked the Gemara, Rav Tavla ikla mechuzah. Isn't there a situation where Rav Tavla came to mechuzah, v'chazul davitali be'ibri d'dasha, that there was the nagar that was attached to the threshold, v'loyam v'loy midi, and he didn't say anything to them. And according to Rava, even if we're going to take the lenient approach of Rabbi Yehuda, we still cannot be lenient if it's not attached to the actual door. Answers the Gemara, Hahu nitl begudahava. There it was attached very strongly, and since it's attached very strongly, so the Gemara is explaining, even though it's not actually connected to the door, it's only connected to the threshold, but when it's attached in a very serious manner, then the halacha is that you could be lenient. Rav Avia says the Gemara Ikla Ado, Chazel Ugavra Dava Kakota Begami, he saw somebody that was attaching the bolt to the door with just a grass. Amma Deilon Nitrik, you're not allowed to use this bolt. Even though it's attached to the actual door, still, even though it's attached to the actual door, but we can't be lenient when it's attached to the actual door if it's attached in such a flimsy manner. By Reb Zeira, so continues the Gemara, what's going to be the halacha nikmas? What is the halacha when you have a threshold and a bolt and you could put it and when you put the bolt in, it goes into the ground. Is that going to be more of an act of binyan, or be a binyan arai, and therefore we should be machmer or not? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Maitabale, I don't understand your question. Lashmile hadatanyu, have you not heard what we learned in the Braisa? Nishmat, if the nagar got disconnected from the rope that it was tied to, because the rope tore, usser, you may not use it as a bolt. Nikmas, but if it's a type of bolt that goes into the ground, mutter, you may use it. Rav Yehuda, nikmas av b'shein nishmat, if it goes into the ground, even though it's attached to the door with a rope, still usser, it may not be used, because the fact that it goes into the ground makes it into a ma'aseh binyan. V'amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, and they pass galach Rav Yehuda nikmas, that if it's nikmas, you can never use it. V'tamamai, and why, as we been explaining, are they so machmer when the bolt goes into the ground? Amra baya, mishin de mechzik b'ayna. That's an act that looks like b'ayna. Bamine Rav Nechumi bar Zechaya me'abaya. Osel lo beis yad. They have this bolt, and they made a handle for it. Mahu, will it be allowed to be used or not? Amale, to which Abaya said, Buchna Kamrit, this is, if it has a handle, then it's certainly usable as a grinder, as a mortar. And Vietman, we learned, Amram Nechumi Ada, Asulai Besyad, once it has this type of a handle, it's obvious that it's not going to be used as a full-time bolt. It's just being used temporarily as a bolt. And therefore, it's clearly not an act of binyan. And therefore, mutter, it can be used as a bolt under all circumstances. Hahu Sharisa. There was a heavy beam, Davabe Repidos, that was used in the home of Repidos. Davamadli Lord Bayasara. It took 10 people to carry it. The Shadullah Adasa. And then they would put it against the door. That's how they would close the door. Vloyamaloy Midi, and he didn't say anything to them when they used it on Shabbos. Amma, so Repidos explained the reason he had no problem with it being used on Shabbos, because Taurus Kliola, since it could be used as a bench, so anything that could be used as a bench is not a problem of binyan. Nobody assumes that you're leaving there on permanent basis, and it's certainly not muksa because it's usable as a bench. Hahi Asisa, there was a mortar, Davis Bay Mashmul, that was in the house of Shmuel, Davin Machdeshes Adriba, it was a very large mortar. It held a lesach. A lesach is the amount that could hold 15 saw, which is a half a kor. Sharmar Shmuel Mishde Adasha, he allowed it to be used as a mortar. Omakars Kleela, he says it's not muksa, and since it's not muksa, it can be used. And the Meiri takes out from this a very important halach lemaisa. The Machteshes is really a klisha malachta l'isser, because we're not allowed to grind on Shabbos. The only reason it's allowed to be moved, as we learned the Masech to Shabbos, it may be moved l'tzorech gufay u'mekaymai. Says the Miri, from here we see that when you're allowed to move a klisha malachta l'isser l'tzorech gufay u'mekaymai, this is a situation we're allowed to move it l'tzorech gufay. We want to use it to close the door. Even if it's a very large keli, it can be used, it can be moved, l'tzarech gufay. Shalach le'ramam v'yicheskul l'rav Amram. Neymalon, please teach us ma'am mahanim milim al-yasa from the wonderful halachis, damit l'mishmei d'rav Amsi, that you learned from Amsi, be'kipid arba, regarding boats that are constructed. The way they used to construct the covering of a boat, the awning of a boat, was they used to make semicircle wires that went on top of the boat, along the length of the boat, and it looked like a semicircle, and then the two sides of the semicircle were attached to the two walls of the boat, and then on top of it, they used to put whatever type of a covering when they needed it. Shalachlei. So the question is, could such awnings be constructed on Shabbos? Shalachlei. So they told him, Hochi Amar Rav Asi, Hani Kipa De Arba. When we speak about these awnings, Bizman Sheyesh Ben Tefach, if they have a Tefach wide, Inami, or if they are not a Tefach wide by themselves, Inami Ein Ben Tefach, they are not a Tefach wide by themselves, Ein Ben Zeh Bezeh Shloisha Tefachim, and there isn't three Tefachim between them, there's less than three tefachim between them. So since there's less than three tefachim between them, we apply the concept of loved. And since we apply the concept of loved, they're considered all connected. And therefore, they're already all connected. So it's already considered like a cover. And since they're all considered like a cover, the halacha is lemachar on Shabbos, maybe machzels or parsalayim, you could put a cover on top of them because you're not really creating a covering because it's already covered from, it's already considered covered from before. And the only time lavud is, the only time you're not allowed to make a covering is when it's not considered covered from before. But here, where it's already considered covered from before because of the way it's constructed, there is no reason not to put a cover on top on Shabbos. My tama, ma'asef aloyel arayhu, it's considered that you're just adding to an oil aray, and therefore, being ma'asef aloyel aray, shapadami may be done on Shabbos. And this is the basis for the halacha, that any time that we have an oil aray ready, and we're just being moisef on that oil aray, that is considered mutter. But the Noida Behuda, in the Shas of Chuvus Madura Tanyana, Eirachayim Simon Lamed, and the Prima Gadim says the same, that this halacha, that hosafa on an oil aray is mutter, adding to an aray is mutter, is only by an oil aray. But if it's an oil kva, even if you're adding to an oil kava, that's usur. The only reason over here it's mutter is because you have two reasons to be makel. Number one, it's an oil aray, and number two, you're only being meisif on it, and therefore it's mutter. The Baruch Tam disagrees, and he says that even in a situation of oil kava, if all you're doing is just being meisif, and the hosafa, the addition that you're adding, is only temporary, that's why it's mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah passes that way in Siman Shin Yud Gimel Sifkat and Aleph, that even if you have an oil kva, but your addition to the oil kva is only a temporary addition, we could be lenient. And as the Mishnah Berurah explains, we have to know where to put the comma in this Gemara. Hani Dichri, they had these animals, the Havalei L'Rafuna. Rafuna owned these rams. The Mama Bayatula, during the day, because the sun beat down on them, you needed to put them into the shade. Ubalaila, but at night, Bayavira, they needed air. So the question is, on Shabbos, how could I create a covering or not a covering? Omalei, so Rav told, Oslakame the Rav, they went with the child to Rav, what may they do? Omalei, Zil Kroich Budja, go take a awning, a covering, Shaiba Tefach, but don't, and then when it's at night, don't completely cover it, don't completely uncover it, leave a Tefach, Ulamacha Pashta, and then in the morning when you need to cover it because of the sun that's coming out, just roll it out, or Moisef Al Arayhu, that's considered Moisef Al Oil Arai, and being Moisef Al Oil Arai, Shapadami is permissible. But I saw, and this is the heter that the Paiskim discuss, when it comes to adding, when you have a covering, or let's say on top of a carriage, or on top of a baby playpen, they have these nets that they put out on top because they don't want any flies or anything to bother the babies. So as long as it's open, a tefach already, as long as it's not completely open, there's a tefach remaining, then it's fine. However, the Chaya Adam makes a very important point. The Chaya Adam says, the Dara Locha only applies, says the Chaya Adam, if it's not just the, when we have an awning and it's rolled up, so the part that's rolled up takes some space. So let's say you have a large awning, you have a large awning over your sukkah, that's when this question comes up, and you want to be able to open and close the awning over your sukkah on Sukkot, on Yontif, on Shabbos, Chol Hamoed. The question is, so if you have a tefach already, the halacha is that it's fine. However, the tefach, explains the Chaya Adam, is not because the mount that's rolled up takes up a tefach. It has to be a tefach besides the mount that's rolled up. That means part of the awning still has to remain open. So of course, this is the basis for the famous tshuva of the Noida Yehuda in Madur Tanyana Eirachayim Simon Lamed regarding carrying an umbrella on Shabbos. And he says that opening up an umbrella is similar to our Gemara, that opening up an umbrella is creating an oil aray. And therefore, since it's opening up an umbrella, it's considered oil aray, it's osur. Of course, the question is, and what would be the halacha if the umbrella is already open from before Shabbos? And the Chassam Sofer discusses this issue as well. The Chassam Sofer, Charles Chuvah Chassam Sofer, Eir Chaim, Siman Ayin Beis, says three reasons why opening an umbrella is certainly not awesome b'deraisa. Number one, he says it's a binyan l'shah, it's only temporary. Number two, it's an oil that's constantly moved, and an oil that's constantly moved is not considered an oil. And number three is that it only has a top. It doesn't have anything going down on the sides. And since it doesn't have anything going down the side, that's why it's not considered making an oil. The Chazanish says that opening up an umbrella is in the category of a psik reisha. And therefore, the Chazanish said that there's a different concern of opening an umbrella, as we just said, and that's the concern of makbe patish when you're making it into a umbrella, a usable umbrella. Amarav Meshur Rabchia, Viloin, a curtain, Mutl and Toysoi, or Mutl Afarka b'Shabbos. You're allowed to open it and close on Shabbos. That isn't considered a Sias Oil Arai. So this Gemara that the Gemara just spoke about, a Vilon, is the basis for a question that really the Trumas Hadeshin discusses. And that is the question, could you open and close the proiches that's in front of the Aron Kodesh on Shabbos? And the Trumas Hadeshin says that if we look at Rashi in Al Gemara, Divrei Maskil Mutter, he says the reason you're allowed to open and close the curtain in front of a place on Shabbos is not considered an oil. Why? Because it says Rashi that the definition of an oil is only when it's on tap. Here, it's not on tap, it's on the side. And since it's only on the side, that's why it's not considered making an oil. But as we know, that really is the subject of a machlokes between Rashi and the Reino Tam. Rashi indeed holds that the issur of oil is only something that covers you. Rabbeinu Tam holds that the issur of a seis oil implies not just on the top, but even in the sides. But even according to Rabbeinu Tam, there is reason to be lenient. And the reason we could be lenient is because the only time that Rabbeinu Tam is machmer is by mechitza hamateres. This is not a mechitza materis. It doesn't make the oren usable, and therefore everybody would agree that it should be mutter. But then Reina Trumas Hadeshin takes this a step further. He says if we look at Rashi says another reason why Al Gemara is lenient with the Viloin, and that is because it's not kavua, it's not there on a permanent basis. So says the Trumas Hadeshin, the proiches that we have in front of the Aron Kodesh is left there on a permanent basis. And maybe that proiches, therefore, would be also to be opened and closed. But he says that the only time that would be a concern is if the viloin, if the curtain in front of the Aron Kodesh, was the only covering to the opening of the Aron Kodesh. And therefore, if it's left there on a permanent basis, and we certainly don't want to have the Aron Kodesh exposed, so therefore we would have a problem. But he says, our Aron Kodesh that have doors on them, so the viloin that's in front of it, even though it's there on a permanent basis, is not really what's closing the Aron Kodesh, and therefore we could be lenient. It turned out that according to the Trumas Hadeshin, let's say there are no doors on the Aron Kodesh, maybe we'd have to be machmer. The Beis Yosef says that under all circumstances, it seems that we could be lenient, and it has nothing to do if it's there on a permanent basis or not. Which opens up the entire discussion, is there a need to have both a door and a proiches in front of the Aron Kodesh, or if one of them is enough. And this Trumas Adeshin clearly seems to teach us that having a Proichus was the way we're supposed to have a Proichus on top of having doors on the Aron Kodesh as well. Kilas Chassanim, they used to have a canopy. The Chassanim would sleep under a canopy that looked like a teepee. That means there was a pole in the front of the bed, there was a pole in the back of the bed, then there was a pole that connected those two poles, and then they put a curtain on top of it. And the question is, on Shabbos, are you allowed to open and allowed to put on that curtain? Says the Gemara, Kilas Chassanim, Mutar Lefarko and Toysa B'Shabbos. You're allowed to put on that canopy on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes B'Rei Dervidi, Loya Moron, when were we lenient? Elish Ein B'Gagot Tefach, that the width at the top of this upside down V is not a Tefach wide. Aval Yesh B'Gagot Tefach, if there's a width of a Tefach on top, Osir, then you can't put that on. That will be considered making an oil. Furthermore, says the Gemara, V'chi Ein B'Gagot Tefach, even if the top isn't a Tefach wide, we can't be lenient. That within three tefachim of the tap, it's not a tefach wide. If within three tefachim of the tap, it's a tefach wide, usur. Because since it's within three tefachim of the tap, we use the concept that we've always used, the concept of lovud, and therefore it's considered that the tap is a tefach wide. And we just said, if the tap is a tefach wide, it's considered like you made an oil in Shabbos. Furthermore, even if within three tefachim of the tap, it isn't a tefach wide, we weren't lenient. We take the sides of this canopy, tefach. But if it comes down to the bed, and the two sides of the pole is a tefach wide on each side of that pole, avayesh b'shipua tefach, if there's a width of a tefach on both sides of the poles, then shipua oilim ka'oli dami, that also is considered like an oil. So Rashi asks the obvious question, if it's so narrow, that because that's the only time we could come up with a situation where we could lay under this, put up this canopy, who could lay in such a narrow area? Nobody's so small. So Rashi answers that we're talking about a case that we have a number of these beds, one next to each other. And because we have a number of the beds next to each other, that's why there is no problem of, that's why there's enough room for the person to lay down. There's a series of surfaces and canopies that make it wide enough to lay on. Vamar Rav Sheshes B'Rei Dervidi, Sina is a felt hat, shari, one may wear it on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara of Atanya, but have we not learned in a Braisa Osir that we may not wear it on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, Loikasha. Hada is Bei Tefach, if it's a Tefach wide, so then it's considered an oil, and therefore one should not wear it on Shabbos. But if it's not a tefach wide, so nobody could suggest that this hat is an oil, and therefore it may be worn on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that whenever it's a tefach wide, there's a whenever you're spreading something out a tefach, there's a concern of oil. If somebody put his talus and it stuck out over his head by a tefach, or put on a cape that sticks out by a tefach, are we going to say, Hochi nami da asur? Are we going to suggest that you may not do that on Shabbos? Ella, says the Mara Loikasha. Hada mehedek, v'hada loy mehedek. So Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara, that the Gemara is actually reversing the concern. At the beginning, the Gemara was concerned that wearing such a wide hat is a situation of oil. And now Rashi says the Gemara understands that this is not considered an oil, but the Gemara's concern now, says Rashi, is a concern that you have to worry that the hat may fly off. And if the hat may fly off, you're going to carry it. And the Gemara says, therefore, there's a nafkamina how your hat is worn. If it's on your head in a way that is tight and you need not worry that's going to fly off, then you can be makel. If otherwise, you can't be makel. However, the Rambam and the Beinu Chananel say that the Gemara still is speaking about the issue of oil. And he says that the Gemara's nafkamina is, what type of a hat is it? Is it a hat that has flaps that come down, the sides come down? So then it's not an oil. If they jut out entirely, that could be considered an oil. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch, so we have two very different approaches in the Rishonim, a fundamental machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam, and Rambam had to learn the Gemara. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Simen Shin Aleph, Sif Mem, and Sif Mem Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch paskins l'chumra on both of these shittas. And then he says, therefore he says, a hat which is not tight on your head, or not tied onto your head, or a hat which sticks out more than a tefach, you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. So the question is, how do we wear such hats? Some people wear hats that have a very wide brim. And the question is, how could you wear a hat that has a very wide brim? According to the Rambam and the Ri's interpretation of our Gemara, they are considered an issue of oil. So the Shas Tshuvas, Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yud, Simon Chof Gimel discusses this. And he says that when you're wearing a hat, and it's obvious that the reason you're wearing the hat is because that's just a garment that you're wearing. So therefore, even if it's wider than a tefach, there's no concern of oil. The only time there's a concern of oil is where it's obvious that the reason you're wearing this hat is to protect you from the sun or from the rain or from whatever. But if it's when you're wearing a hat, and it's obvious that that is not your intention, it's obvious that the only reason you're wearing a hat is because that's a garment that you're wearing, there is no chshash of oil and there's no problem. Moreover, the Beis Yosef says that according to Rashi, who we just explained, learns in the Maskon of the Gemara that the issue of wearing a hat is that you may come to carry it Dalat Amos and Shesrabim. That's also, the Beis Yosef says, only a hat that's worn as an extra protection on your head. But let's say you wear a yarmulke, and says the Beis Yosef, everybody wears their yarmulke all the time, so there's no concern that somebody's going to take off his yarmulke people don't take off the yarmulke, they wear the yarmulke all the time, so there we don't have to worry if it's on your head tight or not. Person's going to be careful, says the Beis Yosef, to make sure that his yarmulke is on his head, and we could therefore be more lenient. Continues the Gemara. Machzirin tzira tachten b'migdash. If you have a keli, you have a box or whatever, that the hinge, the pivot that keeps the door fell out. So we go back to the concept that we've been discussing earlier in this year, that ain't shvus b'migdash, and therefore we could be lenient, and even though putting back that type of a hinge may be considered also binyan arai, and the Beis HaMikdash ain't shvus b'migdash. But Rashi and Divrei HaMaskil b'migdash makes a very, very important point. Rashi says that it's not that in every box in the Beis HaMikdash, because we're applying the concept of ain't shvus b'migdash, we may put it back. He says the only case we're allowed to put it back is that they had different boxes that they used to keep the salt or the spices or other materials that they needed for the karbonos. So that's when we say ain't shvus b'migdash. But if it's not that type of a box, we cannot be lenient. The reason where it's not binyan midaraisa, because this Tana, Rashi Divrei Maskil Machzirin, explains, as we've learned previously, is he's of the opinion, ein binyan v'stira b'kelim. Avalai b'medina, outside the Beis HaMikdash, we're concerned that you're going to attach it in a very serious manner, in a very permanent manner. Rashi says, shemi yitka, and then Rashi adds that it's going to be a malacha. So what is the malacha? If we just said that there's no binyan by kalim. So even if you're going to attach it in a very firm manner, where is the melacha? So the Tres Yisrael and the Merem Yisodar explain that that the Isser is makabe patish. Others explain that Rashi, when he says melacha, doesn't mean a melacha d'araisa. Helion, the upper hinge, kavakan osur, if it moves out of its socket, it may not be put back, because that's already considered boina. Why is that considered boina? So, the way I saw that the Achronim explained, that if something requires skill to put it back, even if it's a keli, it's considered a maisa binyan. Even though we just learned ein binyan v'stir v'kelim, that's only when it doesn't require skill. Here, it requires skill, that's why it's going to be considered a maisa binyan. Of course, many other Rishonim disagree, and they Rishonim and Achronim disagree, and they say when we say ein binyan b'kelim ve'ein stir b'kelim is that the issa here will be considered an issa makabe patish. And then there are others, and that seems that's the opinion of the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, that this is issa d'rabbanan, and it seems the way to understand that opinion is that even though we're being lenient on Issa d'Rabbanans in the Beis HaMikdash, that doesn't mean there's a blanket heter that all Issa d'Rabbanans are mut in the Beis HaMikdash. There are different levels of Issuri d'Rabbanan. And some Issuri d'Rabbanan are not mut in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, as we're learning, Ein binyan v'stir b'kelim. And therefore, it's not usur, not on the bottom tzir, and not on the upper tzir. It's only in Issa d'Rabbanan. And the Elyon, the Migdosh, so the Elyon is still more of a problem than the Tachton, as we've been describing. So the Elyon could be returned and put back in the base of Migdosh, and the Tachton could be put back even Medina. Tana, Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, tzir, shadal, shade, teva, migdol, the pivot on any of these types of boxes, the Migdosh, mechzirin, in the Beis HaMikdash, we're allowed to put them back. But Medinam, darkim. You're only allowed to put it back, but not put it back firmly. Helyoin, kan, v'kan. But the upper hinge, the upper pivot, lo yachzer, should not put it back, whether in the Beis HaMikdash or whether not in the Beis HaMikdash. Gzeira, because we're concerned, shema yitka. And then the simplest way of learning the Gemara, if you'll do that, you'll be over makabe patish, v'mtaka. And if you did so, you'll be over the lava of Makba Patish, and you'll be Chayiv Chattis. Shel Bor, Shel Dos, Shel Yitzia, different types of coverings for something that's built into the ground. Der Lo Yachzer, you're not allowed to return them. Not the Tzira Elyon, not the Tzira Tachton, neither hinge, not in the base of Migdosh, not outside the base of Migdosh. And by them, since it's attached to the ground, so now we're dealing with a binyan d'araisa, and therefore m'hichzer chayiv chattis. We've also spoken about bandages and the ointment on the bandages on Shabbos, that it's a issa m'machik. So says the Mishnah, machzir m'tir b'migdash, the kohen that was wearing a bandage that fell off, for wearing the bandage from before Shabbos, could put it back on Shabbos. Putting it back on in Shabbos is only Gzeir Drabonon, because if you have the bandage that has on it this ointment, so it's not an Issa D'Raisa, putting it back on, and therefore in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't make a Gzeira. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, Chazal were concerned that a Kohen who is doing the Avodah may not have a Chatzitza on his body. So if he's going to be told that he can't put back, so he's going to have to take off this bandage before he does the avoida, if the bandage is in a place that's a chatzitza. And if he's going to be told that he can't put it back on, he's not going to want to do the avoida. And because of that, Chazal said he could do it. Avloim Medina, outside the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal were concerned that you could do memachik, and memachik could have two interpretations. Either you're going to smear the ointment on the bandage, or you're going to smear it on yourself. And therefore, you may not do it. In betchila, but if you're putting a bandage on for the first place, and the way the Paiskim explained the Gemara, even if it's a medicated bandage, so that means it was there from before, the ointment was on before, kavakan osur, it'll be osur both in the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. But here, our Gemara is speaking about putting on the bandage from before Shabbos. That if the bandage was there from before Shabbos, you could put it on. So the Tzitz Eliezer, in the Shas HaTshuva Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Ches Simen Tezvov, Perik Yudalit, it's a very long tshuva where he speaks about what is or what isn't mutter when it comes to medicine on Shabbos, uses this Gemara for a very important heter. We know, we learned Masechta Shabbos, that there's an Isser on Shabbos to do medicine. Chazal said that we're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Gzeira, Meshum, Shchika, Samamonim, we're worried that you're going to make a medicine. But from this Gemara, says the Tzitz Eliezer, we see that there's a difference in halacha if the medicine was on or was being used from before Shabbos or if you're going to use it for the first time on Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan, so we learned in a brisa. Ritziya Shapirsha Megaba Maka, if a bandage fell off a wound, Machzira Nosa B'Shabbos, we could put it back on Shabbos, and even not in the Beis HaMikdash, because it's a milsad l'shchicha. If you put on a bandage, it's going to typically remain there. A milsad l'shchicha l'gozer b'rabbonim. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He holds that if it completely fell off, you may not put it down. But what he does hold is chokka l'mata, if it got pushed downwards, doicha l'mala, you could push it up. L'mala, if it went too far up, because it's still on. Megala mixes a ritiya, you could open up, you could reveal part of the area that was covered, or mechanic piyamaka, and clean whatever wound you have there. The chayzer megala mixes ritiya, and then continue doing so, or mechanic piyamaka, a ritiya atzma while you kanach, but don't clean the bandage itself. It has on it the ointment, and it's going to be involved smearing the ointment. The mirach, and if you did smear an ointment on Shabbos, chayv chattas. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, halach Rabbi Yehuda, that if a bandage completely fell off, a medicated bandage, you may not put it back on. Amar Chizda, lo shana l'shapir shagab a kli, it fell onto a keli. Av pir shagab a karka, if it fell on the ground, the reakal osur, because then everybody will agree that it's considered a new act of putting on a bandage. And a new act of putting on a bandage, as we've learned, everybody will agree, is also. Amamaba Ravashi, Havakim Nakame the Abba, I was standing once in front of my father Ravashi, Noflei Beisadya, and the bandage fell on his pillow, the Kamahadale, and he put it back on the wound. Aminalei, I said to him, L'sovel ma'al ha'odam Rav Chizda, don't you agree what Rav Chizda said? Machoikis Shapisha Gabakli, there's a machoikis that it fell on the Kaili, Avapisha Gabakarka, if it fell off on the karka, everybody agrees that osur, that you may not put it back on. Vamashmul and Shmul taught us halach Rabbi Yehuda. So, how did you put it back on? Amali lo shmili, I don't agree. Klem lo sfirli, that only when it fell on the karka. But if it fell on a kli, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be lenient. And here it fell on the pillow, not on the karka, and that's why I was allowed to put it back on.